Today we'll talk about the gift of prophecy. Okay, so in 40, 45 minutes, we're going to talk about the gift of prophecy, right? There's volumes written on this topic. Volumes. There's more in the Bible than I can get to in 45. There's volumes in here. So anyway, we're going to give it our best shot, and I know that this is... series has meant a lot to you, and it's been helpful. I'm going to preach a little. I'm going to teach a little because I think it's important for a spirit-filled church to understand the spiritual gifts and operate in them. Because if you've been born again and you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, these gifts are for you. If you've been born again and filled with the Spirit last week, you don't have to wait to operate in these gifts as the Spirit wills in you. And I want your heart to be open. There was a story of a young man seeking to find the meaning of life. And he went to visit a prophet. And when he went to visit the prophet, he said, "Sir, he knew that he was a man of God. I want to know the meaning of life." And the young man said, "It's my ultimate desire." And so the prophet said, "I'll give you the best insight I can possibly give you." The prophet said, "Come with me." So he takes him to this small lake. He said, "I want you to hold my hand, and I want you to walk out in the lake with me. And there I will give to you what I have to offer you." And so the young man, wasn't quite sure what was going on, but he did it anyway. So he began to walk, and he began to wade in the water with the prophet until they got up about there. And he was thinking, "What is he doing? Is this an illustration? I've already been water baptized. What is he thinking?" Well, by the time they got this deep, the prophet took him and took his head and held it under. And he held him and held him and held him until the young man just began to struggle. And finally, at the last gasp, and the young man told this story, the prophet let go, and the young man popped out of the water, gasping for air. Like, what? Terrified. And, like, "What are you doing?" He asked the young man, he said, "Did you think you were drowning?" He said, "Yeah, I did. I thought you were going to drown me." He said, "What did you want the most when you were drowning?" He said, "I wanted air." There's two thoughts. When you want salvation as much as you want air, Jesus will show up. As Tyler, and I believe Tyler was speaking prophetically this morning, really. If you've got to want Jesus. You've got to want more of Jesus. You've got to want to walk with Jesus. You've got to need Jesus. That's true for the saved and the unsaved. But this morning, if you are unsaved, how long will it take for you to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and living in your sin? How long will it take as you drown in the darkness and the chains and the bondages of some of these things that's got hold of you? How long will it take? Well, I'm telling you this morning that Jesus will be there at the last gasp. If it takes the last gasp and you said, "I'm ready, Lord. I'm tired of living. I'm tired of living in sin, being bound. I need a Savior. I need somebody to rescue me. I need air. I need life. I need forgiveness. I need cleansing. I need to be free. I need to be liberated from this bondage in my life. I need eternal life." Then Jesus will show up. But I had to reach a place till I really realized how much I needed Jesus. It's also the same with the Holy Spirit. Just to get saved will save you forever. But golly, there's so much He has for us while we walk with Him on this earth. Would you agree with that? I want you to get hungry for God. nominal, average, so-so Christianity is not good enough in the culture we live in. It's good enough to save you. Even maybe, unless some of you get too close the other way, to the other line, man, I come out firing like big bullets, didn't I? Sorry, we'll heal you up here in a minute. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God, the power of God, filling our soul, filling our bones, filling our mind, filling our lips. We need it like the last breath of air. And I know even learning to worship in a collective setting is a learning curve. And believe me, because I'm getting ready to fire another shot, we worship different ways based on our personalities. Quiet worship's good. Loud worship's good. We express ourselves. As long as you're expressing yourself from your heart to God, sitting, standing, hands up, you get it. You're free to worship. But the reason many of us this morning have a lack of worship in our life is not because we do it one way or another or sit and stand. We don't have the passion of the Holy Spirit to worship Jesus. And so we stand. And then some of us expect our kids to live more for the Lord than we do. We expect them to worship. They don't ever see us worshiping. Ooh, now that went from preaching to meddling. I confess. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I was pretty passionate without God. I was always the loudest and the most competitive. But when I found Christ, something went up in me. But then when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, something came up in me. Well, I'm all right. You're drowning. I've found the Holy Spirit will make you desperate. I can't talk about that today, but if you're not, he will help you out. That's for another day. Once you get hungry. Last week, you know, we talked about tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all the uses of tongues. And I kept saying last week, and you may recall, God wants to speak to his people. Isn't that good news? Through his word, through preaching, teaching, but through the gifts, God wants to speak to us. That's humbling. That Almighty God would want to speak to us. Well, actually, when we operate in the spiritual gift of prophecy, it's God speaking to us, through people. But God wants to speak to us. This morning, if you're here, God wants to speak to you wherever you are. I believe that he's already spoken to some of you. Because you felt maybe a little uncomfortable, or you felt a check, or your mind started thinking, God's already speaking to you. I'm so glad that God still wants to speak to his people. And so we read these six verses. We read a few of them last week. Today we'll focus on prophecy. Last week we focused on tongues. Let's read it, six verses. 1 Corinthians 14:6. Now, brothers, who's he talking to? The church, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? It's 14:1-6. Sorry. That's on me, Stephen. Let's go back. I'll read. 14:1-6, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. We read that last week. Especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him. But he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, and we talked about that last week, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. How many does he want to speak in tongues? Because Paul's going back and forth this whole chapter. How many does he want to speak in tongues? All God's saved people. But even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies, or even more to prophecy, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? So again, we looked at five different uses for tongues last week and explained interpretation of tongues. And so again, just let me lean on the prophecy this week to the best of my ability. We read a little later in 1 Corinthians 14, 39, and 40. And so we begin with the first verses of this chapter. And now look what the last verses of this chapter says. So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all things should be done decently in order. So we see in the first verses of the chapter and the last verses of the chapter that everybody should prophesy. You should get hungry for the spiritual gifts. And we unpacked that last week. But you can be hungry and eager to operate in the spiritual gift of prophecy. And prophecy is even more useful than tongues. The scripture, and when you get a chance, even through these next weeks, read the entire chapter 14. Actually, read the 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. Read those entire chapters over and over and over again, and so the Spirit can give you understanding. 2 Timothy 1, 6, and 7 said this, and Paul writing to young Timothy said, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit," meaning the Holy Spirit, "not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." I believe the King James says sound mind. What the Holy Spirit, that's why when we have altar calls, come for a fresh baptism. Get up in your devotion and say, "God, I need a fresh baptism." Some of our young people at youth convention got a fresh baptism. Some of our youth leaders and pastors received a fresh baptism and revelation. They've already told me, let God stir up the gifts that are in you. Everybody in this church has some kind of gift from God. Are you drowning in your gift, or are you going to get full of the Holy Spirit and let God stir it up and start using your gifts for the glory of God? Stir it up. I've been praying all week that the Holy Spirit will stir it up in here, but not stir it up in here. Let's get more. Stir us up, Holy Spirit. Fan them into flame. Fan them into flame, Lord. Well, the prophecy defined, and we'll define prophet in just a moment, is it's a message from God that is secretly revealed, that is spoken forth. It's a word from God, from the Spirit, that is secretly revealed to people or a person that is spoken forth for the edification of those that hear it. And it actually comes from a root word that means to flow forth or bubble out or bubble up. When I was thinking about this, and we had several farms in different locations growing up. We had this one farm that I loved the most. It was away from the house, but it had a spring that bubbled up straight out of the ground. Now, that spring fed a small creek that actually ran for miles. It ran for miles. And at times, in some of the crops downstream, we would use that creek water for irrigation. At other times, I used it to, you guessed it, to fish in. But the water bubbled right out of the ground about a hole about that big around. So when we were working on that farm, we just kept a cup by the spring. That's kind of what happens when you begin to prophesy. It's a word, an anointing that comes from the Lord. It takes time to learn how to operate in it, but you could start today. And the Spirit comes on you with a word from the Lord, and it just kind of springs forth, bubbles out a word from God. The anointing comes with that. Revelation comes with that. God speaks to his people through human vessels. Now, I hope this morning as I'm unpacking the Word of God that the Lord will speak to you in one way or another. We tend to separate the gifts. We need the anointing for everything we do. Is it Royal Rangers? Is it girls' ministry? Is it a women's small group? Is it new believers? Whatever. We need the anointing to speak forth what God is saying. But this comes directly from the Spirit. It doesn't necessarily come from preparing for your Bible study for a week or two. The Lord wants to speak through us. The Lord wants to speak through human people through prophecy. Give me an amen. I got to teach you a while, so don't get bogged down on me. And because I have to condense and think. Oh, I got three thoughts out of 30 thoughts that could be shared. Three main thoughts today is one. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's read in Revelation 19. And the revelation is John is having this vision. And actually, in John's case, really the whole book of the Revelation is a prophetic vision given to John, who gave it to us. Is that amazing? All those chapters of prophetic revelation. And so there's an angel here, and that's where we pick up, and we're getting toward the end of the prophetic vision. And it says, then I fell down at his feet to worship him, John meaning the angel. But he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What? Just real quick, what does that mean? It means that the very spirit, the very foundation of prophecy is to magnify and proclaim and bubble forth and speak forth the majesty and beauty and forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm just going to confirm it. That's what I believe Tyler did this morning. I know it was something on her heart, but I really believe it was a prophetic word because it was spoken in the spirit of Jesus and it was magnifying Jesus. If there was an invitation there to draw closer, to open your heart. We're going to talk about that just in a minute. Everything in this book and everything we do is all about Jesus. Prophecy is done in the spirit of Jesus, sometimes about things to come, sometimes about things that the Lord has done, sometimes things about what Jesus is doing in your life, sometimes about what Jesus will do someday. Listen, Christ is the major theme of the Bible from Genesis to the Revelation. Christ and redemption, the redemption story, is the foundation of all that we do and all that we are. All right. Well, I want to challenge some of you as the Spirit comes on you to try prophesy about Jesus. Testify about Jesus. Bring glory to Jesus' name, not just with your actions, but with your words. I said we got to do it with our words. It's not enough to live it. I said it to stir some of you up. Because if you just live it, people know that you're living differently, but they won't know why or who. If you're not going to live it, don't tell them. Because that's going to mix them up. But do you hear what I'm saying? We need to bring glory to the name of Jesus by what we say, by what we say, by how we say it, by how we say it. Salt water and bitter water, James said, can't come out of the same mouth. Prophesy about Jesus. Tell people that Jesus saves. Tell people that Jesus forgives. Prophesy that Jesus still heals. Prophesy that Jesus will forgive. Prophesy that Jesus loves you. Prophesy that Jesus is coming again. Prophecy is the spirit of Jesus. Prophesy that Jesus delivers. For some of you that are in chains this morning, I prophesy in Jesus' name that he who the Son sets free is free indeed, and he loves you enough to free you as well, and he can take the chains off this morning. He will take the chains off this morning. He wants to take the chains off this morning. I don't always know the future, but I know who's got it in control. He holds my future. So then number two, supernatural utterance, prophecy, speaking of prophecy, is done in a known tongue. And I've always used the three words to edify, exhort, and comfort. Different translations say it different way. 1 Corinthians 14:3, and we're reading from the ESV this year. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So let's just talk about those just for a few minutes, because it's important. This is vital. It's one of the vital concepts. And so the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their edification, exhortation, and comfort. So edification, ESV says, upbuilding. The edification is a word that comes from edifice. And in the Greek word, it would be similar to what you might imagine in the English word. It's an architectural term. It's a term about buildings. It's a term about, this is an edifice. It has a roof, it has walls, it has wiring and HVAC, it has a foundation. So it says prophecy, and I love to use the word edification instead of upbuilding. And it's easy. It means to build up, to strengthen, to lay out a charge, or to inspire with confidence. So when the Spirit of the Lord comes on us, we want it. You can hit all three, or you may just hit one of these that I'm going to teach you. But the Lord wants to build us up, not tear us down. Now, hang with me a minute. You've got to realize you're a sinner and understand the conviction of sin before you can meet a Savior. I get that. But that's edification. If it's Holy Spirit demo that has to take place before you're built up, that's still edification. I understand sometimes we need to be confronted by the Holy Spirit with something that needs adjusting in our life. But God's motive is always, even if it's hard, is so that you'll make an adjustment and then be edified. You can't build a building, you can't build a life on a cracked foundation. So many times the prophetic will speak to a change or two, but it will also be redemptive in the sense, look, every time God convicts me of something he wants to change in my life, he doesn't whack my head off, and it's not to beat me up. It might be to wake me up. It might be to cause me to look inside, which would in turn cause me to look up, because I know Jesus is for me and not against me. He's for you this morning and not against you. Some of the things you've been running into, you think the devil is just Jesus roadblocking you. That's his grace. So sometime he'll do a little demolition work. Pastor Christian, again, spoke so well on brokenness a few weeks ago. Sometimes he will allow brokenness to come into our life, but always with the idea that he will edify and build up and make strong and speak strong. So when you're prophesying, it's always to build a good building called the body of Christ. you see edification and exhortation. I'm even trying to preach what I just need to teach. Well, exhortation or encouragement, the ESV said, is to call near to God or to make an invitation. To call near to God or an invitation. Again, and I'm just, is Tyler with her baby or is she in here today? She's with the little guy right now. There was a edification from her this morning, and it's just, isn't it something how we study each gift, the gifts are manifesting? It's happened 3 weeks in a row now. There she is. You can hear me. Can you hear me in the speaker? She was speaking an edifying word, and then she kicked into exhortation because she challenged us, and I believe prophetically, to draw near to God. She not only spoke a word out, she made an invitation from God through her to us. Then, okay, I'm not. How can you take that lightly in a worship service? We need to dial in, church. When God's speaking, we need to listen. How do you feel when your kids look the other way? Come on. Look at me, young man. I taught mine to look me in the eye. When God is speaking, look him in the eye. Don't let things distract you. Look him in the eye and listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And then when prophecy goes forth publicly, in my heart, I try to respond to it, whatever that response is. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, you need to look God in the face. And then say this, and listen. So we see that comfort. I may turn this into two messages. How do you do it? And teach. So it's an invitation. Then it's for, ESV says, consolation or comfort. To come alongside and strengthen. I'm with you. I'm here. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Aren't you glad for the comforting? I tell you, even though Paul, and we'll read it in a minute if I get to it, I've had a hard time getting to all my stuff for 5 weeks now because it's too much stuff. But even Paul got a strong prophecy from Agabus, but there's a degree of comfort came with it, even though he knew they wanted to kill him where he was going. You know why the comfort was there? Because God said it. You can go anything if you'll listen to the voice of God. Prophecy is God speaking to his people. Well, then there's the office of prophet. Ephesians 4, 10 through 13. Let's read that together. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. We're speaking of Christ here. And these are, for the right term, are called the offices. There's many other positions in the body of Christ, dozens. But here's the offices of ministry. For he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, some say, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Here it is again, for the edification or the building up for the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, there's so much to insert that's practical. The qualifications and the portfolio of the prophet, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they have different areas they flow in, but the standard is the same. All those offices have been called by God to serve the church. That's what I mean by that statement. Different giftings and callings, but they're all offices to serve the church. And the word prophet, if you understand prophecy, kind of goes along with the same thing, but it means one who speaks forth or one who speaks for another, meaning you know who, and it's a divine message, just to keep it simple. And prophets, by the way, aren't fortune tellers. They're not fortune tellers. And if you're reading your fortune, you probably want to get away from it because you're opening the door to the demonic. Now, that stirred a few of you up, but it's just true. If you have some questions, I'll answer those for you later. You know, the Bible speaks against fortune tellers, sorcery, witchcraft, mediums, witches, astrology, and horoscopes. That's why Wednesday night we are not celebrating Halloween, because Halloween's all about that, the roots of it. Do the study. You don't have to believe me. Do your own due diligence. But the prophet is an office of the church, just like the pastor is an office of the church. But the gift of prophecy, and it's important because everybody's not called to these offices. In fact, there's just a percentage called to these. Aren't you glad everybody here is not called to be a pastor? How would some of you like to be a pastor? Well, you're studying to be one. That's not fair. But Alyssa doesn't want to be. No, I'm just teasing. That's his wife. She does too. So everybody's not called to the office. Some are, but all can prophesy because we read it right here in the scripture. And it's for equipping the saints. All can prophesy in the local congregation. A prophet will typically definitely work in a local congregation, but sometimes more locally, sometimes even regionally. Every now and then, very nationally, but I'm very careful to test everybody that calls himself a national prophet, because at least in my opinion, when I put them to the spiritual test and the biblical test, everybody that calls himself a prophet is not a prophet. But everybody can prophesy. Everybody that calls themselves a pastor, not a pastor. Everybody says they're an evangelist, not an evangelist. Are you with me? 2 Peter 1:19 says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So just as can prophecy give guidance sometimes? Yes, it can. Can it be predictive sometimes? Yes, it can. Can it be corrective sometimes? Yes, say amen. Can it be directive sometimes? Yes, it can. It'll always be the first things I taught you, always that, and then we're expanding on what it can be. But listen, and this goes with the office of the prophet, are you operating in the gift of prophecy, is always submitted to, I'll call him the guy with the microphone, the guy running the meeting, which in this setting is usually the pastor, or wherever you are. When I'm in other places, I move in the gifts, but I'm always submitted to the pastor. When I was in Africa, I made sure, and I worked in the prophetic tongues, interpretation of tongues, but I made sure that was submitted to that local pastor and that sectional presbyter in that meeting. And he was fine, but you know, if he'd said no, I'd said, okay, all right. So some prophecy can be predictive and directive, but I want to say this, be careful with that kind of prophecy. Be careful doing it and be careful receiving it. So I can remember, and I could tell you dozens of stories of a young couple that got a directive prophecy from their so-called prophet in a Southern California church that they were the ones to be married together, and they never had a good marriage. And they were married for 40 years and miserable most of those 40 years. Why'd they stay married? Because they felt like they had to do that as unto the Lord. So when you get a predictive or a directive prophecy, that's good. Usually a couple things need to happen. One, God's already been speaking to you. And sometimes predictive and directive prophecy given to me or to the group, it's God's already confirming it. Or if he hasn't, he will. So if somebody were to do it in the group, we're going to check it for a few weeks. We're going to see if we can get some confirmation. If it's predictive or directive, you say, well, Pastor, what about personal prophecy? Well, I believe in it because it's in the scripture. I've been given and given a number of personal prophecies to just a person. But again, it's something, and I'm not a prophet, I'm a pastor, but I do prophesy. Just, okay, that helps illustrate that. If I feel like I have a prophetic word for just a person, I usually make sure they test it. As the pastor in me says, I want to make sure you test this. I feel like God is saying this to me. You don't always have to throw down the God card. God can take care of that. But I believe in it. Because I've had it work in my life as well, where somebody gave me a personal prophecy, and it was smack dab on the money. And we're going to talk about word of wisdom and word of knowledge the next 2 weeks, which a lot of times will work with the gift of prophecy and even the discerning of spirits. I'm unpacking a lot of information, guys. It's really good. I'm teaching you a little bit. I'm having it be practical. But if Justin were to give me a personal prophecy, I'm going to test it, especially if it's directive or predictive. If it's exhortation, comfort, hallelujah, glory to God. Build me up, brother. You know, you can even do that without being prophetic. But exhortation, comfort, edification, amen, build me up. But if it's predictive and it's precise, because we've had a lot of predictive, precise prophecy in this church that was right smack dab on the money. So I'm trying to be balanced with you, but I'm teaching you how to operate. I'm talking to the office of the prophet. I'm talking, because there are some in our congregation that are in the office. I have no question in my mind, but all can prophesy. And so I'm talking to those of you just where the gift comes on you, the anointing comes on you, and how for you to operate in that. Is that okay? 1 Corinthians 14:29 said, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. I think then they were probably testing and judging prophecy more thoroughly than we typically do in the church today. Well, prophecy, because of this, gosh, prophecy, just like, is never considered infallible. Only this is infallible. You know, only this is without question. If I prophesy, the anointing comes on me, I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit and do it the best of my ability. But Dale, the person, as much as he loves the Lord and full of the Holy Spirit, am fallible. I can make mistakes. Give me a big amen. Man, that hurt. Which people say, well, I may take 2 weeks on this, y'all. I may have to. People say, well, you'll know prophecy by whether it comes true or not. That's not true. Now, if it's prophecy and it's from the Lord, it will eventually come true. So don't misunderstand me. But if that was the plumb line for Isaiah, he was a false prophet. Because he prophesied things that didn't, for many generations didn't find out it came true. Do you hear what I'm saying? But you hear all these things out there, because, and we're trying to learn. We're trying to understand. So we see that. What about Ezekiel? Everything he prophesied didn't come true in his day. It eventually did, some hundreds of years later. What about Jeremiah? Well, in his case, he had a lot of his stuff come true in about 70 years, but he was gone, and most of the people that knew him were gone. You hear what I'm saying? Now, what do I do? I'm stopping. Last scripture, 2 Chronicles 20, 14:22. We're going to talk about this again next week. We'll do the other half. You say, Pastor, it's just not your typical preach the whole time, because I feel like I've got to teach while we got the most people in the house. Because in my heart of hearts, if you're not saved this morning, I want you to know Jesus Christ. That's number one and above all things. It's Lord, it's Savior. But number two, once you're saved, I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues and all the gifts that we talk about. Full of the Lord, speaking forth. I feel like Paul. I wish all of you would speak in tongues, but I'd rather for you to prophesy. I'd rather for you to exhort and comfort and edify others, those around you, with your words. Get hungry, church. Get hungry, church. And I have to close with this. You know the setup. The enemy has overwhelmed Israel, and they don't have a chance. They do not have a chance. The odds are too great. They've had a prayer meeting, just in my terms. You can read the whole chapter later, or the couple chapters in there. And here is what happens as the people had been seeking God. There's thousands of men, women, and children and leadership in this setting, because basically the enemy's getting ready to wipe them out. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. So I'm going to read and I'm going to talk as I go. What happened is now they've been praying, they've been seeking God, they're looking for direction, they're in a desperate situation, almost like their last gasp of air. And the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord doesn't come on a prophet, comes on a priest who begins to speak prophetically. He's speaking as a prophet. And he said, oh gosh, listen. Some of y'all need to listen. All Judah and inhabitants, All Rock Church, of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you. This is a thus saith the Lord. Do not be afraid. You'll see all these principles at work. Just, you see them. Edification, comfort. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. I believe this morning, just the scripture alone is prophetically speaking to many of you this morning. I don't think it, I know it in my spirit. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, the east of the wilderness of Jeruel. The Spirit of the Lord is even revealing where they're at. We're going to talk about that now. It'll be week after next on the Word of Wisdom. Because I believe that's a word of wisdom also working prophetically. That's just, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm and hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Yeah, somebody say hallelujah. God is speaking to us. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. And the Lord will be with you. And I tell you, I just felt my spirit check, but some of you will have to test it. I want you to test this because this is going to be directive. God has something for several of you tomorrow. So you got to be careful with that. So you test it. I feel like two or three of you already knew that. I feel like there's two or three of you that already knew what I just said. So I didn't have that planned, but I felt something bubble up. Mm. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I'm going to test something. We're going to keep reading. I didn't know this was. How many of y'all need to make a decision right away? I'm not going to ask you what. Let me see your hand all over. One, I saw two, three, four, five. Anybody else? Six. Tomorrow. It means soon. It means right away. Seek God. Please don't completely trust me. I'm fallible. I'm trying to teach and prophesy at the same time. I believe I'm prophetically speaking to you, but you better test what I'm saying. Well, for those of you that it's for, you're going to get your answer tomorrow. Not from me, from God, because I don't even know what answer you're looking for. How about that one? God isn't showing me that. Be careful, prophets and prophecy people. You'll misinterpret your own prophetic word if you're not careful. Wow. And I thought you had to shake and shout when you prophesied. Nope. You can. It's better probably if you don't. Because sometimes that takes attention on us and takes it away from God. Darla and I thought for years when a tongue or a prophecy comes, you had to just go. Then we realized you could do it like this. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Whew. And they rose early in the morning. Now it's not tomorrow, it's morning. And went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, here's the leader, here's the king. Hear me. The prophet said, listen to me. Now the leader is saying, listen to me. Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and here's all these principles, and you will be established. Believe in His. Some of y'all need to listen up. Believe in His prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, there's the counsel. He appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And some say, for his mercy endures forever. And if I'm not mistaken, I haven't studied this in years, but I think I'm on it. The word for love and mercy there is the same word for the Passover lamb. The lamb that was slain, the lamb that was raised, the lamb Jesus Christ that is all powerful. Oh, but the prophecy is the prophecy of Jesus. And when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and had come against Judah so that they were routed. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Edification, exhortation, comfort, the prophet speaking, the leaders confirming what the prophet said, and the people listened and obeyed. Come on, somebody. Told Jehoshaphat to speak to the people and then go back to speaking to God and then speak to the enemy. I would say it this way, because they had a prayer meeting first. Speak to God, hear from God, speak to people, hear from God, speak to people. Every now and then, speak to the devil in Jesus' name. God is calling us near this morning, just like he called that group of people near hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The Spirit of the Lord has a word for us this morning, just like he had a word for them all those years ago. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you this morning. Listen. Listen. Because many of us in one way or another are gasping for air. Not all of us. Some of us are living on the mountaintop. Thank God in the body of Christ, we don't all live in the valley at the same time. But as a church, we're either in the valley together or the mountaintop together. We stand with each other through thick and thin. And I'm going to give you one last little thing that's burning in my spirit. It may not be for everybody, but it's for a lot of body. That's a word. Test it. Not Western Kentucky. Too dignified. Eastern Kentucky. Hillbilly. Aren't you glad I didn't preach the whole message? Listen, everybody in this house, listen. The enemy has come in to steal and to kill and destroy. Some of you are in a valley in so many ways, financially, economically. Some of your marriages aren't where they're supposed to be. Your relationships at work aren't where you're supposed to be. And even for some that are on top of their game right now, you'll never stay on top of your game without listening and obeying God and leaning on the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a warrior for God this morning, the enemy is fighting you tooth and nail. And if you're down and out in all these areas, the enemy has come against you to destroy you. For some of you, to try to get you away from Christ. For some, it's your marriage. For some, it's your friendship. For some, it's a family idea. Some of y'all become okay with the way your relationship's going. And that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. I said, that's a lie, straight from the pits of hell. Your circumstances, the Lord is saying, look up. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for third best. Don't settle for fourth best. Don't settle for it's always going to be this way. Do not settle that all these areas have to always be this way. Don't settle for that voice of the enemy that says you'll never become all God wanted you to be or your relationships or this or that. Don't settle for it. I exhort you and edify you today in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you to rise up. Rise up. Some of you, it's the muck and mire. Other, it's some of these struggles. Rise up. Look to God. God is for you, not against you. He loves you. His eye is on the sparrow and his eye is on you. Rise up. If you're not where you want to be, don't be satisfied. Get your satisfaction from Christ. And you begin to talk to the enemy, and don't lose your balance here. In Jesus' name, I'll be victorious at work. In Jesus' name, I'll have provision. In Jesus' name, my marriage will give glory and honor and praise to God. In Jesus' name, and devil, you can't stop me. I'm a shakaya. Stand up and clap. And I'm not done. Who told you you couldn't be who God's called you to be? Who told you you wouldn't make it the last mile? In Jesus' name, I refute the enemy. There's power in the blood. I've been pleading the blood over you. I've been pleading the blood over this church. I've been pleading the blood every day for the last 6 months. Hallelujah! The blood of Jesus Christ will not fail you. Sometimes you do yell when you're prophesying. My heart burns. Who's telling you that you're not good enough? In Jesus' name, I refute the lies of the enemy. You're good enough because he makes you good enough. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. Who's telling you you've made too many mistakes? Who's telling you that? It's the devil! You may be so overwhelmed. Some of y'all are trying to overcome the mistakes you made 20 years ago or 20 days ago. Go forward in Jesus' name. Listen to what God is saying today and move on and refute that. You're good enough because Jesus makes you good enough. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, who's telling you your family members won't be back to Jesus? It's not Jesus. He never gives up, never leaves, never forsakes. If you're battling with that this morning, in Jesus' name, they will come home in the name of Jesus. And I want you to hear it, and I want the devil to hear it. Who says your children or your nieces or your nephews who's gone a little stray are going to serve the enemy? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. In the name of Jesus, as for you and your household, they will serve the Lord. Who said you've waited too long to fulfill your calling? Who said you waited too long to be saved? Today is the day of salvation for you and for some of you. Today is the day that you step forth in your calling. I'm careful about that, but I don't care this. I don't care what you say, devil. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm not even hungry. That's dangerous. Are you listening? No, listen now. Are you really listening? Are you? Are you? Are you really listening? Good. Thank you, Jesus. Are you listening? I know you are. Like that last gasp of air. Hold with me just one more little bit. Just see. I think there might be one more thing on my heart. To stand in the presence of the Lord. What the prophet